his Lord. We love him this morning. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's go before him in prayer this morning. Precious Heavenly Father, what a wonderful, beautiful opportunity it is this morning, Lord, together in your precious holy temple here, Lord. We just appreciate the opportunity, Lord. We love and appreciate you with all our hearts. Lord, we just yield our spirit unto you now, Lord, for your service. Let your will be done in our lives. Let your will be done in this service. We'll give all the glory and honor unto you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. So while we're singing, let's sing out those chorus. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Amen. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Actually, that little chorus is on page 540. There's another little verse to it. Amen. Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Amen. 540, I believe. Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me.
I appreciate you.
appreciate Him for everything He's done. Amen. Page 491, back a few pages, same book. Amen. We have come into His house to magnify His name and worship Him. We have come into His house to magnify His name and worship Him. We have come into His house to magnify His name and worship Christ the Lord. So forget about yourself, concentrate on Him and worship Him. Amen. So forget about yourself, concentrate on Him and worship Him. So concentrate on Him. page 354. Same book. Amen. I have a soul of strength when I am weak, that takes me through when life is pressing me.
Amen.
Such a blessing, such a comfort. Amen. To know he's always there whenever we need him. Amen. Brother Paul, would you take up the offering this morning?
Jesus, Heavenly Father, we just come before you and stand again here, Lord, to come into your house, Lord Jesus, to worship you this day, Lord Jesus. And Lord Jesus, I just pray you speak with the service here. The word comes forth, Lord, and speak to our hearts, Lord Jesus. We have need, Lord, and just meet the people's needs. Lord, and just be with us this day now and bless his tithes and offerings, Lord Jesus. And use it for the furtherance of your kingdom, Lord Jesus, and bless those who have to give and those who don't, Lord Jesus, and may your blessings be upon them. Lord, we ask all these things in your name, Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen. I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blessings were made there just for me. For all my sin, my sickness and my pain.
Amen.
When I need healing, I claim those precious blessings.
Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody got a need upon their heart this morning by that person or hand?
Hallelujah.
Amen. We got a prayer request here from Brother Jim's wife, Sister Lois. Her son has been in the hospital. He had a stroke. Wants us to keep him in his prayer.
Amen.
Brother Settles.
A close friend of mine, Terry Shepherd, has got ALS. And I just pray that the Lord will deal with his heart.
Amen.
And just make it easy.
Amen. And keep all the ones that Sister Gensel and Sister Brother Bobby in your prayers also. A lot of needs, amen, in this life. Keep them all in your prayers as we ask Brother Tim to take the request this morning.
Heavenly Father, we so grateful, Lord, to be here today. Lord, in our hearts there's just a peace. And Lord, knowing that you are in control of every situation.
Yes.
Lord, we appreciate the opportunity to be able to come and to bring our needs before you. And Lord, to know that you're only a whisper away.
Amen.
And Lord, that you're there to listen. And Lord, to make that needs to be done. Lord, we just ask today, Lord, that each one that's had a special unspoken request, Lord, Sister Lawson, Brother Settles, Lord.
Yes.
You know the needs, Lord. You know what's needed. And Lord, we just ask that you would meet those needs. Lord, touch their bodies, whatever it may need.
Amen.
Lord, you know. Sister Gensel, Brother Bobby, Lord, we want to continue to uphold them, Lord. And just ask you to continue to mend them. And Lord, we just pray today for each and every one, Lord, that had a hand that went up, Lord, that you know what was behind it. Lord, you know what's needed in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, we ask that you would meet it accordingly.
Amen.
To your glory and to your honor, Lord. And we've come today, Lord, asking for revelation, understanding of thy word, Lord.
Yes.
That's our greatest need in all of our lives. And Lord, we just pray today, Lord, that as our pastor comes, Lord, may he fill the pool of the people with the desire of the hearts, Lord. We just ask that you would bless those that couldn't be here today, Lord. Maybe they're sick or afflicted, Lord. You know the need. Just ask you to touch them as well. And Lord, we'll never fail to see that you receive all the glory and the honor for it. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Anyone have a special this morning? Or song they like to sing? Come on. Okay, let's all stand and sing that little chorus. Sanctuary. Let me be a sanctuary for him. Amen. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.
Hello.
to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Let's just bow our heads. Precious, precious Lord, what a privilege it is to be here again today and to be gathered around your precious word. And truly, Lord, we've come with a desire in our heart to draw closer to you, Lord, to understand thy ways in a greater measure. And Father, help us, Lord, to then surrender greater to you, Lord. That truly, Father, our lives be given as a living sacrifice, truly holy and acceptable unto you. And Father, when we think of all the great things of how you've handled everything, truly it's a reasonable service. We ask now, Lord, that you'd bless us and give us revelation, the word today. May it not just be something we intellectually gain, but Father, be by faith that we can be as Paul said, we no longer walk by sight, but we walk by faith. That in every action, everything we do in life will be by revelation. Thank you now, Lord, for this opportunity. We appreciate you and love you with all our heart now. We ask now thy will be done as we wait on you to speak to our hearts through the word of God. In your precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Praise his holy name. My, what a true desire to have, to be prepared to be a living sanctuary. Amen. For Christ to live through and to express himself. Let us turn our Bibles if you'd like to turn with us. Amen. Glad to see everybody could make it again today. And trust the Lord will bless those that couldn't be. I know there's some sicknesses going around and so forth that time of year, but God is the healer, that's for sure. Amen. All right, Colossians 1, let's turn there, and let's just read to begin with the 26th verse and 27th verse. And then we'll have you be seated. Then we'll pick back up on this and read more of it. Colossians 1 and the 26th verse and 27th. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations. Now think of that. A mystery that had been hid. Why? From ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And may the Lord bless you in his word again. You may be seated. Amen. As I was praying and waiting all through this week, and just waiting on what the Lord was wanting me to bring, as I said before, there's so many things to minister on. And you think, well, you know, sometimes if you're not careful, you can get in the flesh and think, well, this is what I think we need, and you know, this is what I felt should be, but it isn't necessarily what God wants. And that's what we come this morning, and we want to make sure what the will of God is this morning. Of course, his word is his will, or his will is his word, so we realize that we want to bring what's timely, though, and what God is doing in the heart of people and getting a people ready. And what I bring this morning may not be what another minister down the road may bring. We all bring different things, and it's what God lays upon our heart. You know, his congregation may be in need of a certain thing, and this congregation is in need of another certain thing. And that's the important thing of it is to find the will of God and what the need is. And then trusting that through that, God will feed the lambs and sheep and cause us to grow in Christ and to be more Christ-like and to let him have a greater preeminence. And as I said, I was waiting and praying, and there was a certain message I just couldn't seem to get away from, and we've taught out of it many times, exhorted many different times out of it, and I'm sure we all have listened to it probably many times and read the message many times. But that message is Christ, the mystery of God revealed. And it just seemed like something about it still, the Holy Spirit was dealing with my heart. Some of us just still is not getting the revelation of it. It's not you've got to remember, saints, again, it's not trying to intellectually remember it. It's not trying to be able to pick it up and read it or listen to it and then just be able to tell somebody else about it. It's a personal, individual revelation of the Word of God. It's something the Holy Spirit does for you as that individual. And we know as we all sit here today, we all have different needs, I'm sure, spiritually. And there's different things that could be spoke today that would maybe help others. But again, we seek what we feel the Holy Spirit is saying the most important thing is right now, you see, to make sure. Because we know everything is winding down. We know that. We say it many times. You hear it everywhere. We look around and can see it. It's evident that it's the end time. How much longer go on, I don't know. I can't see it going on for a long time. And, you know, with what Brother Branham told Billy Paul and different things, you know, you can't see it going on much further. And when you think of those things, it's the prophet has said, you think, have we got enough time to get ready? You know, with still in them places in people's lives that you can preach on it. You can tell them. And yet it just still seems to not be grasped and caught a hold like it should. And then there may be young people that still, you know, are not filled with the Holy Ghost. Just different situations. There might be older people not filled with the Holy Ghost. And you may think, was it possible to follow this message for years and not have the Holy Ghost? Absolutely it is. You know? Very possible. And I'm sure we can understand it with many things the prophet said. But we do know what will happen in reality if you receive the Holy Spirit, you know? And Christ is there in your life and changing you. Precept upon precept, line upon line. And as we receive the Word, we quote many times as Scripture says, we become the Word, you know. So I trust today as we receive the Word, we'll become the Word. And don't sit there and think, well, I can tell you right now what's in that message, Brother Steve. You want me to tell you something? I don't care if you can tell me everything that's in that message. What I care is what Jesus Christ cares is this lives through you. And in a way it can live through you and it's be revealed to you. You know? And we'll find where he says that here in a little bit. Well, I don't know if we'll get to it this morning or not, but I've got a lot to get to that point. But there's some things I want to read before we go into this message, actually, Christ, Mr. God Revealed. And he had read this scripture in his message here that he was going to bring in this message, Christ, Mr. God Revealed. But I'd like to read, let's just pick up the scripture and read that more of it now. Let's begin about the 17th verse. Let's just expound on a few things there before we go on. Colossians 1, and let's begin here, 17th verse. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit will not let any word go past you that it's unimportant to you, but it's everything to you. And the Holy Spirit makes it alive to you. By him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Now think of the powerful meaning of those few words already. But again, without the Holy Spirit, it's not powerful, it's not meaningful to us as an individual. It is powerful, meaningful, but to us as an individual, it has to be revealed. Otherwise, it's just words, okay? And we're able to read or we're able to listen to the preacher and so forth, you know? For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated, which we all were at one time, absolutely, maybe some still are, all right? And you that were sometime alienated and enemies. Now, alienated means shut out from God, okay? All right? And enemies in your mind by wicked works or evil things of a bad nature, which is what wicked is, and works as actions and deeds, okay? And he says, yet now hath he reconciled, or bring back to a former state of harmony. Okay? In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable. That's a pretty good place to be in with Christ, isn't it? Amen. All right? He says here, in the body of flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Okay? And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Notice these words. Hope all these words become key words as we're reading them. To fulfill the word of God, even the mystery. Now listen, we read it already, but read it again. Even the mystery. Now remember, it still remains a mystery, even though God sent a prophet and revealed these things so people would understand them. It still remains a mystery to us as an individual if it hasn't been revealed. It still is a mystery, you see. Okay? Even the mystery which hath been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Now think of that. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. What is this mystery? Among the Gentiles. We stand as Gentiles. You know, which is Christ in you. Now, do you realize how important that is? It's not just saying, I received Christ, say it with our lips. I believe I'm born again. I believe I received the Holy Ghost, these different things we could say. Or just saying, I believe Jesus Christ lives within me. You know, it's more than just our confession. You listening? It's more than our confession. It's a possession, you see? It's possessing something. And if it's a possession, then there's a special identification comes forth with that possession. Otherwise, it remains a confession. Okay? He says, the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect, perfect, in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Now, present every man perfect. Perfect again, we looked it up. It's full age, finished, full grown, mature. That sounds like what Paul said in Ephesians 4, wasn't it? He gave forth the fivefold ministry for that, for the perfecting of the saints, work of the ministry, edifying the body of Christ. And also, well, we'll just read it. If you want to turn with me, Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. It's up to you if you want to turn. It's just short scripture, but we want to put it in your heart there. 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I want you to think about that. Perfect. Perfect. Full age. Mature. You know, some people think that that might just be, well, that's age. That's nothing to do with age, natural age in the flesh body. No. You can be 85, 90 years old, and I'm not talking about somebody that their mind is starting to go, but even if their mind is sharp as a tack, as to say, 90 years old, they can still be just as childish as can be. Yeah. Childish as in what? Well, anger, being quick to anger is childishness. Yeah. All those type of things. Just not having true long-suffering for somebody is childishness. To let somebody say something and just aggravate you, is to say, and you get all hot under the collar, is so childish. It's childish. Maybe 90 years old and put a cigarette in your mouth. So childish. You know? But when you become a man spiritually, you put away all those childish things. You see? So I want you to notice here what Paul is saying here. And then when we eventually get over in Christ, the mystery of God revealed. Truly a people has to come to this perfection. Some people think it's just you got to believe you're perfect. If you're in Christ, you're already perfect. There's more to it than that. You see? But Satan wants you to just believe it's just that part of it. Just believe that you're perfect and everything's going to be all right. How come the actions isn't what Christ said it would be? You know? How come the full age, the manifestation of being full age and maturity isn't there? Doesn't that look pretty silly? You know, it's about like a little two-year-old standing there and say, Daddy, I'm full age. I'm a man. I'm going to work today. You know? Doesn't that sound silly? But people don't realize how silly they look, thinking they're perfect in Christ and claim they are, and then there's nothing to show it. You know, all it is just they're like a little baby. I'm full age. I can do this now, Daddy. I'm going to work. I can drive a car. I'm 2 years old. You can't even reach the gas pedals. And our actions show sometimes we can't reach the gas pedal. Our actions show that we can't even hardly hold the steering wheel. Our arms don't even stretch out big enough to hold the steering wheel. Well, none to really have a reality of full maturity. You know? Do you understand what I'm saying so far? So there's a truth, friends, in everything in the Word of God. It takes revelation. It takes the Holy Spirit revealing the Word to us. It's so quick for people to just say, we spoke on a few weeks ago, it's so easy for people to just say, I believe. Honestly, to myself personally, me, it makes me sick. When I just hear people say, I believe. There's so many people who say they believe this message, and you can't even tell they're in the message. You know? You hear ministers behind pulpits, and they, I believe this, and I'm this, that, and the other. And their life ain't even showing it. You know, it just gives you a sick feeling. Is this all people understand? With the Word of God, God gave through that prophet, and to bring a people to perfection, a full maturity, a fullness of the stature of Christ, unity of faith, and this is all we're getting? You know? Parents that can't even know what the right things to tell their children to do and bring them up right, they don't even know it, they don't understand it. And yet they say they're perfect in Christ. And they may worship God like, oh, my, I'm a happy person. All kinds of things going on. Now, friends, I'm going to tell you what, it's like that little two-year-old trying to drive that automobile. And it ain't going to work. No. God's got a whole lot better system set up than that. Yeah. He's got something that's much greater than that, than what people in their minds make things. That's why it's not intellectual. It's by revelation, you see. God has to reveal it to us that we can see this place of coming to this fullness of stature of Christ, to come to this perfection he's speaking about, you see. All right. So let me go on now. You just pay attention to what the prophet's saying here. Again, as he says, say what's on these tapes. Say what's in these messages. Is that what he said? Absolutely. So I'm going to say what he said in here. Okay? And that's what we're going to listen to. Now, if we want to hear some man's creeds and doctrines and theories, you know, what he thinks, then, friend, there's plenty of places you can find to do that. But I'd rather say what he said. If it cuts, it cuts. If it hurts, it hurts. If it gives me joy, it gives me joy. It gives me strength, it gives me strength. It gives me encouragement to run, I'll run faster for him. Glory to God. Whatever it is, you see. All right? This is in Seed Does Not Err with a Shuck. This was preached February 18, 1965. Brother Branham is talking about the, you know, the wheat, the stalk, you know, the tassel and so forth, and the seed in there and so forth. I skipped a little bit to save a little time. He said, Mary was not the seed. She was a carrier of the seed. But she had nurtured and brought forth out of her womb, just like the shuck, brought from its womb the real seed. But the shuck is not the seed. It's closer to the seed. It hugged up around the seed. Way back in the stalk, the life is scattered all through the stalk. And when it comes, he'll explain here a little bit. And when it comes to the pollen, it's gathered down closer. But when it comes to the shuck, it's right there like the seed, and it forms it almost like the seed. I'm sure probably most of us, maybe some of it wouldn't, but I'm sure most of us knows what you ever see wheat growing in a field? And you see what that actual wheat looks like hanging on there, and that shuck that's around it? If you was to look at it and just take a quick glance, that's the life right there. That's the seed. But no, it's a shuck. It's covering around a seed. You see? Now listen to what he's going to say. He says here, Jesus told us what would be in the last day. That it would be so close it would deceive their elected, if possible. Now think of that. So man's teachings is going to be so close to the real thing, but yet it won't be it. It'll look so much like it, you know. There is even a life people can live that is so much like it, but it's not it. Yeah. Now let's go on. Just remember these things. He said it'd be so close to see the very elect if possible. But then the seed comes forth from there, and the shuck, the life leaves the shuck, and the shuck is a carrier. And that's just exactly what our denominations has been, a carrier. Luther, Wesley, Pentecostals, and now it's time for the seed to come forth. Notice, he says, she was not the seed, Mary was not, just a shuck, tassel, stalk, carriers of part of the word, not all of the word. Now we know we're in the last days, and we know the full word come. It came forth. Now what if we don't take all that full word? Where are we going to be? You see? Christ, the mystery of God, is in part of this, of being in this part of this full word. You know that? It sure is. He said Luther had justification, Wesley had sanctification, Pentecostals had the restoration of gifts. But when the word come, he stops there, now they could produce that justification that will save a man. You believe that? Sure, it was a carrier of the word, just the same as I believe the stalk is part of the wheat. Sure, it is, but it's a carrier. It ain't the life. Now That's what he says there. It ain't the life. Then along comes sanctification. How many believes in sanctification? I do. Absolutely, you see. We don't do away with sanctification. It's part of it, friends. All right? He says, you believe the Bible. He said, if you believe the Bible, you have to. Sure. So still, that's not, he said, he skips there. He says, it's a little more like, that's two more words now. Justification, sanctify. That's two more words. Okay? Then come Pentecost, the restoration of gifts, speaking in tongues. Oh, listen to that. They call it the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. He says there, they call that the initial evidence which brought forth the what? The shuck. But they denominated. But when you come to say, I and my Father are one, and these other things, then the shuck pulls away from it. Okay? But the real, genuine bride church, and you believe you're a part of that? Amen. Absolutely. He said, but the real, genuine bride church will bring forth the entire Word of God in its fullness and in its strength, for He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So can we just take part of the Word? Just trying to show you a little something here. Now, it's hard to believe, but whether we want to accept it or not, a lot of people are just taking part of the Word and don't even realize they're doing it. And they begin to take away or add to something in the Scripture or what the prophet brought, the teachings that the Holy Spirit had him bring, and they begin to take away from that and add to it and so forth. All right? Especially after them seals was revealed. Now, the thing of it is, they think they can get by, and they've got life. But when was life mentioned here? With the entire Word of God. Is that right? That's what you're going to find out now as we go into this. When you want to talk about life, and when you want to talk about Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, that He's still alive, or He's alive in me, He's alive in you, we're going to have to talk about the entire Word of God. Because to be Jesus Christ and to be Christ the Word, He is the full Word. Amen. You see? He's not part Word. See, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was with God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You can't have any of it missing. You can't say, I don't need this part, I don't need that part. I don't need divine healing. I don't need this in my life. I don't need to have the actions of Jesus Christ in my life. I don't have to have the mind of Christ. I'm not Jesus Christ Himself. They got all kinds of excuses. But why does people make them excuses? Wrong seed. The genuine seed, friends, is where the life lays. And if that genuine seed, bride today, is here, you've got life. It'll be the entire Word of God. There won't be adding to, taking away, giving our theories, what we feel about things. You see so many times, too, where people, you know, they'll change little portions of the Word to make it so it makes it look like they're still a Christian. They're still a believer. You know? But it doesn't work. All right? So let's go on. But the real genuine bride of Christ, or I'm sorry, bride church, will bring forth the entire Word of God in its fullness, in its strength, for He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, future home. I'm just bringing some things to you before we go into Christ, Mr. God revealed. In the future home, paragraph 199, this was August 2nd, 1964. Just renew your minds back to this part. I mentioned it many times, but just read it to you, know it's there, you know. Like He did us, His creation to live in, before He could come in it. Before He could what? Before He could come in it. He had to give us the baptism of fire. Then the Holy Ghost come in and live. The Holy Ghost is what? The prophet said, God in spirit form. Okay, is that right? Can we be satisfied with that? Okay. He said, then the Holy Ghost come in and live. Baptism of fire. Then when you get that baptism of fire, then the Holy Ghost can come in. What? As it does. As it does, that baptism, fire of the Holy Ghost comes in. As it does, it burns up everything contrary to the Word of God. Wow. It burns up. It burns up. Now, do you realize if people don't have a revelation, that, I'll call it a phrase, sentence, whatever you want to say, means nothing. Excuses begin to come why everything ain't been, it's contrary to the Word of God, don't get burned up in their life. Excuses begin to roll. Well, I this, well, I this. I don't see it this way. I don't believe it that way. I don't think he meant this. But he said exactly what God meant. You see? It burns up, we'll read it again, everything contrary to the Word out of you. It won't believe nothing else but the Word. Oh. Where's all these people at this? Feel, they say they got the Holy Ghost and believe in things that's contrary to the Word of God. And they can change from one week to the next. Depends on what preacher's preaching. And how inspired he preached and what anointing was on him when he preached. And oh my, he must have the real idea because he really had the fire of God on him. But it may be a false anointed one. You see? So, what does all this do to us? And what does it mean to us as individuals, not as a group? This is not a group affair. This is individual sitting here. I'm an individual. You are an individual. But what does this word doing to us, and what does it mean to us? You know? Okay? He says here, all right, going on. Like he did this, well, I guess we read that part. It burns up everything contrary to the Word of God out of you. It won't believe nothing else but the Word, because it is the Word. Isn't the Holy Ghost the Word? Absolutely it is. Now, if the same Holy Ghost is in there and in the control, and the Holy Spirit is there and the nature of God is there, why wouldn't it only believe the Word? I mean, all of it. When it's the Word in there in the control seat. You see? All right? When you truly understand these things, you see more and more how childish people are. And they may be in the message for 50 years, friends, but they're just as childish as some little two-year-old trying to drive that car, trying to reach the gas pedal. You know? But when we become men, we put away those childish things. You see? All right? He says here, now that's what we was talking the other day, the evidence of the Holy Ghost. The evidence of the Holy Ghost is when you can receive the Word. I'm so thankful, which God knew what he was doing through his prophet's lips. I'm so thankful it didn't stop there. Because look at the excuse many people could say intellectually, I received it, because they can remember it. And they call it receive. You know. But he didn't stop there. Not some system, but have a clear understanding. How do you know the Word is clear and understand it? Watch it vindicate itself. Remember that when we go in Christ, the mystery of God revealed. Watch. Who's watching? Well, not only yourself's watching, but everybody else is too. Watch it vindicate itself. All right? In other words, watch it confirm it and watch it prove that you've received it. Oh, that makes a big difference when it's proved that you received it, you see. It's like any message when we come and listen to the Word of God and the Word gives us our instructions, what should be in our life and what direction we should turn and what we should not do, whatever it may be. And the Word of God comes forth now. When we walk out that door, it's vindicated whether we really believed that or received it, or whether we just, amen, out the door we go. There's a vindication comes one way or the other. You see? And we may not even be spiritual enough to see what's happening. If we were spiritual enough, we'd overcome it. But by not being in the Spirit and the Holy Spirit there, on the control seat of our heart, we can hear it intellectually, receive it, we call it, walk out the door, And it's as though this never were said. And just go out and do the things again. Think bad about people and those that hate us and persecute us. We think bad about them. If we had the power within ourselves, we'd cast them in the lake of fire. We'd do all kinds of things because we get so aggravated. Showing Christ isn't there. You see? When Scripture says, love those that hate you. Yeah. That despise you. Persecute you. Say all manner of things against you. Yeah. Wow. Well, you say, I see this do it. You see? Oh, yes, weeds live the same way. After you just got done saying this, back up and catch what he said. Get a clear understanding of it. Watch it vindicate itself. And then the prophet gives us a little illustration so he catches us. Well, you say, I see this do it and that. You know, haven't you heard people say, well, I see this person do this and I see this person do that. Yeah. Well, I see they go to that church, that believing church, and look what they do. Yeah. Weeds live the same way. Yeah. That's why I say what I do sometimes at different times and different messages so that the people understand if they pick up these messages and listen to them, they may look and see people here that is claiming to be believers and they left this church and went there to stay more stable with the Word and solid on Christ and still their life is still showing Christ ain't there. But I say that so that people understand, you know, that I'm not stupid. I understand. Weeds live the same way. You see? All right? Or those that just may not be filled with the Holy Ghost. You see? But weeds will live the same way. They'll claim they believe this, they'll believe that, they say, and they were following the message and all kinds of things. Weeds live the same way, you know? Okay? But it's got to be the entire Word. Now, there's the difference. It's got to be the entire Word of God, okay? To be the bride. We say we're bride? Okay. We're a seed of God? Then, okay. But it's got to be the entire Word of God. Otherwise, it's just a confession and not a possession, you see. All right? It's got to be the entire Word to be the bride. You have to be part of Him. He is the Word. And what part of Him is it? The Word that's promised for this day when He calls His bride. Be a part of that. See, you get it? He says, don't lose that now. Oh, don't lose it. That's why we oftentimes remind ourselves about it. All right, in desperations, quickly, I'm trying to hurry, get a certain point here. Desperation, September 1st, 1963, paragraph 21. And the devil can impersonate any of those things, but he cannot be the Holy Ghost. He can impersonate these gifts, but he can't be the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is the token that the blood has been applied because it follows the blood all the way from the book of redemption. See it? He said that it was the purpose of him. He said that was the purpose of him coming. That's what he followed in every age. Every age, he has followed that to see that it brought forth. And they could not be made perfect without us. And now the entire Holy Spirit visits the church. Now pay attention to that. The entire Holy Spirit visits the church, making God in human flesh, as he did before Sodom, the burning there, which was a type. Then Abraham, he appeared to him. And all the things that he hasn't done, now listen, and all the things that he hasn't done down through the ages, in the church ages, he is now doing. Back to the Word, because the messages and the messages and the messages, he says it three times, has to wind up in the entire Word of God. And in the last days, the seven seals being opened was to pick up every straggle that had been left off of it and make the whole thing in one great big body of the bride. So if we're bride, aren't we involved in this? Absolutely, you see. That them who lived back there was not perfect until this church be perfected, this bride group in the last days, to bring them in and all together be taken up. The token, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, He is among us. We should reverence that. He says we can't humble ourselves enough. Oh my. Taking off your shoes or getting on your knees wouldn't expel it. He said it wouldn't satisfy it. It wouldn't suffice us. But a life that brings forth the fruit of the Spirit. Now we're talking about sufficing something. But a life that brings forth the fruits of the Spirit. Now what is the fruit of the Spirit? And it just puzzles me still to this day sometimes. So some preachers in this message still, they try to throw out love, they try to throw out joy, and they try to throw out peace because they don't understand the Word of God. You know? Yeah, just love is not the evidence. One time the prophet before the seals revealed preached love was the evidence. Yeah. But after the seals, love was not the evidence. But that doesn't mean love is done away with. Without love, we're nothing. You see? And he goes on after the seals and shows all these different things. Here he is after the seals talking about love, joy, and peace. You see? But whatever that word says can be the fruit. What is our fruit of that word coming forth in our life? What life is coming forth from it? What's being manifested? You see, what fruits is coming forth? Okay? And even as simple as love is, as he says here, but a life that brings forth the fruit of the Spirit. And what is the fruit of the Spirit? Love. So even that one word, love, love is kind. Do we pass? Love thinketh no evil. Do we pass? Love suffereth long. Do we pass? Love vaunteth not itself, it's not puffed up. It's not easy to provoke. Does it pass? You see? All right. Talking about a seed, a life, okay, that has to be if we're bride. Okay? All right. Remember this morning, preparation sent the messenger with the message. And God did that. In this great preparation, he sent a messenger with the message. That's why we're able to read from what that messenger said. Okay? All right? He sent the messenger with the message. He sent the pillar of fire for a vindication. Did he not? More than that picture. Yeah. Sent the pillar of fire for vindication. That was God's mouthpiece. God was going to use this man to speak to his bride. He says, he sent a pillar of fire for a vindication. Next thing was after that was a consolation. What came from all that? Comfort and peace. You see? See, you knew that it was right. You was at peace. Now, I was thinking about it as I was going through this and thinking about that pillar of fire. You know, all we've seen is photos of it. Is it right? We've seen photos of it. What would make a man or woman really believe that? How could they ever believe such a thing as that? Huh? Oh, the camera messed up. There was a light on the ceiling and reflected off of this and caught that. Huh? But why is there people on this earth can really believe that? And then vindicate, they believe it. Not just say it with their mouth of confession, but believe it. Because then, what do you mean vindicated, Bro Steve? Because when that prophet speaks, amen, their life comes into submission to that. Oh, they really believe it. And they have such comfort and peace, a consolation that comes from that. Because it was given to them to know. You know, there's a lot of people that walked with the prophet, lived with him, ate dinner with him, done many things. But you know, the true believer that really believes all the word and has never seen the man in their life is is more blessed, the scripture says. Huh? More blessed are we. We have not seen those things. We didn't walk with him. We didn't sleep with him. We didn't go on vacations with him. We didn't get to see the things that many people saw that they tell us about now. But look at the people that did do that, and their life isn't in Christ. Not saying there is people that has, but I'm just saying we're more blessed. I'm more blessed because there's nothing can convince me other than that was true, the pillar of fire. Yeah. Same pillar of fire come down on the day of Pentecost when I was in that upper room. Same pillar of fire. There is absolutely nobody on earth by God's grace. There's no man's creeds and theories and ideas, they've tried it, that can make me even begin to doubt that wasn't real. Blessed, oh, blessed are your eyes, for they see, your ears, for they hear. See? But look at those that was in those meetings. My, I walked away from it. Talk about grace. Mercy. You want me to tell you something else? It'd be true grace and mercy to really understand this. Truly. Truly. Not agree with it. I'll say I believe it. I'll say I know the prophet spoke it. I'll say I was there when he preached it. But to truly have it revealed to you. Because you know what? If it's truly revealed to you, it'll vindicate. So we'll know. You'll know whether it's self with it is or not. Others that have the vindication of it will know. Yeah. Well, it's been revealed. Well, I'm going to get it. I'm going to listen to you, Brother Steve, preach on this. I'm going to make sure I try to get this. Try all you want. But you better ask him. Lord Jesus, I need revelation more than anything else in this life. Reveal it to me, Lord. Amen. All right. Let's go on. I'm not going to get close to where I wanted to this morning. In the token, just a quick quote here. This was November 28, 1963, one of the token messages. Paragraph 157. Now, when you want eternal life, you receive a token showing that the price has been paid. Showing that the life has been paid. Remember how he used the illustration to get on that bus, that airplane, whatever it may be? Especially back in the old days, you had to have a token. You had to buy this token, and you had to have this token presented to them, or you wasn't getting on and riding. Yeah. You just wasn't getting on, and you wasn't taking no ride. So you had to display that token. You couldn't walk up to that bus line and just say, I got a token, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, let me on. No, that didn't work. There had to be something vindicated. It had to show. You had to be able to show it to whoever you was walking by. You had to show it to your associates on the job. You had to show it to your family. You had to show it to the other members in the church. You had to show it to your neighbor that's treating you like dirt. Yeah, you had to show it to them. Yeah. And if you don't, you ain't going to take no ride. There ain't no ride to glory for you, friend. For this is the hour the token has to be displayed. You see? And that token today is the literal life of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit. Christ in control. Christ in preeminence of our life. That's what has to be displayed. Every moment. Anytime, everywhere, any day, every day, has to be displayed. Or we're not riding. Okay? Full obedience to the whole Word of God, to God's entire Word, entitle you to this token. Okay? So keep that in mind. One more, and then I'll go in Christ, Mr. God revealed. And I'll stop here in a little bit. Just give me a little time. Don't mean to tire you. But just listen to these things, will you?
Amen.
Please. Please listen to them. Things that are to be. December 5th, 1965, paragraph 92. Jesus only asked for one thing in his prayer to the Father. You know what that was? One thing after all of his sacrifice that he did here on earth. The life that he lived, the path that he walked, he asked for one thing. That where I am, there they may be also. Think of that. He asked for our fellowship. That's the only thing he asked the Father in prayer. Your companionship forever. If you want to read this, St. John 17, 24th verse, then how much should we desire him? Wow. How much would you, after what I just said, done reading, and before we enter into this message, Christ, Mr. God revealed, how much should we desire him? If he desired us. Now listen, if you really are born of the Spirit of God, you can take your own little test when we get done with this. If you really are born of the Spirit of God, that means everything to you. To be in His fellowship. Yes. That means everything to you. There is nothing more important. Nothing. Now we can't sit here and say, well, Brother Steve, there isn't nothing more important to me, and then our life vindicates something differently. Shows there's things in our life we can't lay down and push aside and give Jesus Christ first, and maybe just things in our life, actions, deeds we do that we just can't seem to let go, that's not Christ-like, it's nothing but carnality. We can't really say that. Can't really say that it means everything to you. He says, if you're really born of the Spirit of God, that means everything to you. It ain't some book of rules. When Brother Steve gets up there and preaches the Word of God, it ain't, well, I better quit this because he said I shouldn't do it. You need born again, friends. Yeah. When it's that, I'd better stop because the preacher's on me. You better just might as well stop where you're at and get filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. It's not a book of rules. You don't live any laws. And so forth. You know? You live by the grace of God, the Spirit of God. That's what you live by. Not somebody pressing you, make you to do something. No. That ain't it. I know where we once fellowship with, that's the way a lot of times it was. If you don't do it, I'll make you do it. And you can't make Christians, but governments, Brother Branham said. It's in that nice church age book you just got. You can't make Christians by governments. Trying to make people do things. Force them to do things. You can't make Christians do that. No. You just got to keep in mind, weeds live the same way. They'll do the same thing. Yeah. But it won't be the entire word. Otherwise, it's just weeds. In Christ's Mystery God Revealed, we're going to pick up on page 16 and read a few things and start in a few things here, and we'll close for this morning. I don't know about you, but I love the Word. I love the Word of God, and I love it if it shows me I'm short. And it gives me that opportunity by grace to overcome and to climb higher in Christ. Look where I'd be if it wasn't for that opportunity. Some people may not like the idea of getting their sins showed up and showing how wrong maybe something is in their life, because they don't like that. They don't like that feeling. They think somebody is against them. But friends, I love it when Jesus Christ shows me that I need to climb higher. Hallelujah. Page 16. Now, God's secret mystery had before the world began. Back in the back part of God's mind, there was something that he was trying and was going to achieve. Now, saints, Lord willing, if we have service tonight, I want you to keep these things in mind now, okay? There was something he was going to achieve, and he had a motive in doing it in order to let himself be expressed. Now, we're in the very starting points of this now. Now, listen. I don't care how many times you've read it. Just ask God to open your understanding to it, just in case you missed something. Because pretty evident, maybe we missed something if our life isn't vindicating it. Okay? So it's not like we sit here and say, well, I believe I'm vindicating it. Maybe there's one sitting beside of you isn't. You know? And maybe we can get that last one in. Maybe the Holy Ghost will deal with the heart. God will fill them with the Holy Spirit and the rapture will take place. A lot of people just think the last one's way out there in the world somewhere. It may not be, friends. It may be sitting in a message church, and it may not come to Christ yet, and then something happens a certain time, a certain service, bang, and it'll be the last one that comes in. But people think they may be way out there in the bush, and there might be. I'm not saying there ain't. But don't just have your mind set on their way out there somewhere, and I got to get to them. God's chose the evangelists and so forth to go out and get to them, missionaries and so forth. He's sending these message books. He's got the tablets and things. It'll get to him if there's elected there. God will send a certain man. He'll deal with his heart and send him over there. Amen. But he ain't done that for me so far. I seem like I'm for a certain duty at this point right now. All right? I'm not saying what will happen later. God only knows what will happen later. But I just know the way I minister, I wouldn't be welcome in very many places. I know that. All right, let's find out here what he's saying. He says he had a motive in doing it in order to let himself be expressed. Because first, there wasn't even a moon, star, atom, molecule, or anything. He was God. But he exactly wasn't God at that time because God is an object of worship. And there wasn't nothing to worship him. So in his great mind, he wanted these attributes to be expressed. I want you to catch that word expressed. Expressed. Okay? And in him was love. Oh, that ought to already be clicking when we just talked about love a little bit ago. In him was love. If that same Jesus Christ is in you and I, wouldn't that same love be there also? Huh? Amen. Absolutely. And in him was love. In him was to be a father. In him was to be a son. In him was to be a savior. In him was to be a healer. And all these great attributes that we see already expressed, they were in God. Why do you suppose God split the Red Sea for Moses? Who got the glory from that? Who was expressed in all that? No man could do that. But God expressed he could do anything. Oh, yeah. What about Daniel in the lion's den? What got expressed out of that? Well, all these hungry lions. Throw Daniel in there and thinking them things wasn't going to eat him alive. God expressed again he was alive. What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And they stood in that fire, heated seven times hotter than ever been heated. Even those that throwed them in died of the heat. And who got expressed? Jesus Christ, there was a fourth man in the fire. Expressed. Expressed. Why don't you keep that little key in your heart? Expressed, you know. You could go on for a long time. All the many things from the Old Testament clear up on through who got expressed. Huh? Okay. All right, just go on. He says here, and in him, I guess we read that. He says that we see already expressed, they were in God. Let's go on. All right, so he says here, let me skip. I'm trying to save a little time, but yet not. I mean, it's all important. But I just want to hit a certain point for this morning as we go on here. Let's go here. Now, God had a purpose and a hidden mystery. That's what I want to speak on to the church this morning. The hidden mystery. So, already I know with what he just said there. If the Holy Ghost doesn't reveal this to me, it's still hidden. Just because he spoke this message, brought this message, doesn't mean it was uncovered to everybody. No. The word came forth to uncover, take away those dark little corners and different things, and give a bride, it was to give and to give a bride the understanding of something. But if the Holy Ghost hasn't revealed it to me as a person, this whole message still remains a mystery. Amen?
Amen?
So we're going to sit there and say, praise God, it's not a mystery to me, and we don't understand it? Well, sure, it's still a mystery if you don't understand it. You see, I don't care how many times we sit there and pick that book up and read it, and you might be able to tell me everything Brother Branham said. It's still a mystery if God don't reveal it. You see, God is so great, he can hide himself right in these pages, Brother Branham said. You see? He said, it's still a hidden, or he said, I'm sorry, the hidden mystery of God that he had in his mind before the world ever began and how it's unfolded itself right down to this present hour that we're living. And then you will understand clearly then, if I can receive this, I'll understand clearly then, I believe, what is being done. So what is being done? What's being done when we gather into these services? What's being done? What's supposed to be being done? What's supposed to be happening by gathering into the temple here? This tabernacle, this little tabernacle, it ain't worth much money as far as that goes or anything like that. But yet, God's grace gives us this little place to gather in, and we sit and listen to this word. What is it all meant to be for? That's a great question. Am I receiving something that produces in me and through you that bring forth a manifestation of what it is meant to be? Is something being vindicated from it? Or is it we're just another group of message-believing people that, you know, we gather in a place on certain services and we listen to things the prophet said and we read the Bible and we sing songs, take up offerings, and we go back home? Is that all it is? Or what is meant? What is all this meant to be? You know? Okay? God's great mystery of how, see, it's a secret. He kept it secret. Nobody knew nothing about it. My. Even the angels didn't understand it. He didn't reveal it. That's the reason under our seventh mystery, when the seventh seal was opened, there was silence. We'll skip down just a little bit more because he talked about Jesus on earth and so forth. Is therefore, the entire Bible is the revelation of God's mystery in Christ. Now, again, I'm trusting you'll keep this in your heart now. Keep it fresh till our next time we return, if the Lord will. He says, therefore, the entire Bible is the revelation of God's mystery in Christ. See, the entire Bible is an expression of one goal that God had and one purpose he wanted to achieve in the entire Bible. And all the acts of the believers, we mentioned about some of those things, all the acts of the believers, yeah, even Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even Daniel, Moses, all those different ones. All the acts of the believers in the Bible has been in type and expressing what God's great goal is. Now, let me just stop here a minute. So are we not involved in this plan? Are we not a part of this? That he also would use us for a purpose? Or did this expressing business, was it done away with? Huh? I said it that way so we get an understanding of something. Did it just quit and stop? Or who are the ones that's involved in it today? Not just anybody can be involved with it. But God predestinated the people to be involved with it. This expressing wouldn't stop. Whether you realize it or not, I'll say it again. If the Holy Ghost don't reveal it, this means nothing to you. You will go out that door and it means nothing to you. You'll forget about it. You'll be the forgetful hearers and not doers of the word. And you'll fulfill that scripture. But if you are seed, you'll be able to catch what the Holy Ghost... And if you're not catching it, maybe you're not really... You know, Brother Steve, you're still talking in jumbles to me. Well, I don't think it's been that much jumbles. If you're paying attention and you're really hungry for it, you see? Let's go on. And not that I can do... I can't do it. Absolutely not. I can only do as the Holy Spirit lays even on my heart what to read to you. I don't know nothing. I am unlearned, ignorant. You see? Can't do anything. And if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, I couldn't even do anything right. If I do anything right, it's by His grace and His mercy. Otherwise, I can't do anything right. Now, some people is the other way around. I can do this and I can do that and I know this and I know that. You go ahead. But I'm going to tell you what, I know I'm nothing. And I know I can't do nothing right. You want to be honest with you? I can't even drive down the highway right without God helping me. I can't even eat right without God helping me. Can't even talk right without God helping me. Yeah. I can't do nothing without Him. And furthermore, I don't want to do anything without Him. I want Him to be in complete control. The control seat of my heart. That my mind will be His mind. And now this last day, you believe we're in the last day? Amen. We'll close on this one. And now in this last day, He has revealed it and shows us. And with God's help, we'll see it right here this morning. And it's the only way we're going to see it, friends. It's God's help. When I get done with this, you might be able to remember it. That's not life. It's so far away from life. It's nice to remember things. But when it's life, it's the best thing. Yeah. With God's help, we'll see it right here this morning, what the Lord has had in His mind all along and has expressed it. Therefore, you can see the great meaning of what it's been to know this. See, God revealed it to him. He says, and then try to bring it to the people. If he felt that way, do you realize how insufficient I feel? I'm trying to get this to people? So where does it leave me? I can only say what he said. And trust in the Holy Spirit has found favor. Or we have found favor with the Holy Spirit to have him reveal it to us. That if there's any sitting here that hasn't had it revealed, it'll now be revealed to you. He says, and then, and having went into details and tried to explain as God has revealed it to me. Now, if you want to mark this down, I've got so many places I want to read from. And now in the book of Luke here, and 24th chapter, let me skip on down here just a little bit. He's talking about those on the way to Emmaus, and we'll close right here. That's on page 18. See what he says. Let me read what he says. Oh, fool, slow hard to understand. Don't you know all the prophets and the Psalms? And he says, what was he doing? Identifying himself to these apostles that all the prophets and all the Psalms and everything was him expressed. Everything was him expressed. What are we here for? What are we here for? Yeah, you may just take it as, Bro Steve's always harping on this and me doing this. And he's harping on me doing that and harping on this against the word here and harping on me. But what's it all for? Christ has to be expressed again. And I can agree with that. That doesn't get it. I have to have it revealed to me by revelation. I can't reveal it. I can only say what he says and trust that God has taken these opportunities, that what he promised in Ephesians 4, he He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come to the unity of the faith, till we come to the fullness of the stature of Christ.
Amen.
I can only put my trust in that. And trust the election that he's placed in this little building. He will keep his word. He will open our eyes. He will give us eyes to see. That we can really be a true believer and not the make believer, but the true believer. That Jesus Christ can express himself. Amen so far?
Amen.
Not amen to me. Amen to what I've read to you. Amen. Amen to that word. And you know, like I was thrown out of that one church, you know, down in West Virginia one time. You read too many Brother Branham's quotes. I feel sorry for that man. A man to be so blind. I don't care how many lights, he said, come to his bedroom window. Oh, my. But right there's the true light, friends. Amen. There's the true light. Right there. That I can trust. That I can depend on. That is real. Amen. Praise his holy name. I love him. Won't you sisters come on up the instruments, please? Let's just sing a little chorus before we leave. Now you pray for me that the Lord will lay on my heart the right quotes to read at the right time, and you'll be in the right condition. Asking God to open your heart in a little greater way to it, you see. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. Because it's word. It is the word. It is life. Is that right? It is spirit. It is life. The word of God is inspired, is it not? Amen. Thank God for his precious word. Well, let us all stand, if you would, with me, please. And let's just sing that little chorus. I love him. Do you love him?
Amen.
I love him. I love him. Gracious Lord Jesus, remember your prophet saying that it's one of the greatest songs of worship you could sing. I love him. And truly, Lord, we love you and appreciate you. I'm sure, Lord, down through our life, there's been times it didn't look like we did. Maybe we stand here tonight and still really don't love you like we should. But we can only ask you to help us, Lord. Help us, O God. Fill us and refill us, Lord, that we'll be what you want us to be. And Father, as we've went into this precious message again, I'm trusting, Lord, that you'll ignite something special in somebody's heart. Something special in my heart, Lord. Something more real. Something greater, Lord. Oh, I appreciate your words so very much. I'm so thankful that, Lord, as we are reading the Word and talking about the Word, whatever it may be, Lord, there's something about it so satisfying. It's so precious. There's nothing else on earth, Lord, that even comes close to it. That satisfying portion, that sweet honey, is so wonderful, Lord Jesus. I ask now, Lord, that you just again go with each one of us. Guide us and protect us, Lord. I don't know if the roads are getting bad yet, Lord. If the weather is supposed to come, but Lord, if it is, especially just watch over those that have to travel such a ways, Lord. Be with them and guide them. And Lord, I just want to say a little special prayer again for Sister Lois, Lord, and the situation with her son. I'm sure you know all the situation, Lord. And Father, I don't know anything about him. I don't know if he knows you or anything, Lord. But Father, if he doesn't, I know that's her greatest desire, Lord, is for him to be healed and come to Christ. I'm sure that'd be her desire. And we know if that seed lays within him, Lord, oh God, it'll happen, just like you said. But may you bless now. Bless her sister and comfort her. Be with her, Lord, if she has to travel. Watch over her. And again, Lord, precious Sister Gensel, we trust, oh God, that you'll bless her. May you meet the need there in her life. Lord, not to be remembering all these people, because maybe people may think a prayer wasn't answered. It's not that, Lord. But Father, again, Brother Geisinger, I trust that you'll help him. All these circumstances, Lord, I know you're the great physician. You're the great provider. And Lord, you answer prayer so many times. We see it happen so many times. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we appreciate you, Lord, with all our heart. Bless us now as we part from this little place. And thank you again for you giving us this time to be here. In your holy, glorious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Don't you love him? Oh, we ought to appreciate him with all that's in us. Amen. May God richly bless you now and be with you. Amen. You're dismissed.